Staples knows that when your spreadsheets no longer spread, it's time. When your presentations are not presentable, it's time. And when tensions in the office are high.
No, tensions are very, very high.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has a full range of tech services to help your business with everything from data recovery to virus protection. And right now, get $50 off PC diagnostic and repair service so your business won't miss a beat. Staples, it's pro time. Ends 5/27. Service does not include parts.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to our Thursday night We Are Survivors call. We want to, Wanda's out sick today, so we want to send, you know, our prayers out for her that she has a speedy recovery, and we'll miss her not being being on here live with us tonight. But we do have two special guests, so I am going to be very brief so that we have time to allow them, you know, both to speak. Our mission is for Real Survivors is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children in providing temporary shelter, counseling, and to provide employment training. We want to help men and women transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient in society. Our vision is to empower men and women so that they can survive and thrive in society on their own, and to uplift them and provide them with new life and new perspective in enhancing and elevating their lives. Again, I'm Stephanie Kennedy Alford with We Are Survivors, and we're going to do the show a little bit different because we actually have two guests on tonight. Again, Wanda is out sick, wishing her a speedy recovery, but we're going to go ahead and turn the show over to our first guest. Our first guest that we have tonight is Charles Johnson, a.k.a. the Homeless Poet. He is out of Wilmington, Delaware. He is overcoming several types of abuse. And he's also an author of many books, which he will be sharing as he tells his story. Charles, go ahead. You now have the mic. Welcome.
Hello?
Okay. Charles, go ahead.
Yeah. You hear?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
We can hear you.
Oh, okay.
We can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, my name is Charles Johnson, a.k.a. the Homeless Poet. I'm 56 years old, and I was born in Wilmington, Delaware. I just recently moved to the Dallas area 14 months ago. And when Stephanie was talking to me and asked me to be on the show, and I know about her show, which was a very good show, I was more than happy to be on here. In regards to abuse, I went through a lot of emotional abuse coming up. I went through abandonment issues. For example, the first 30 days that I was born, I was nowhere near my mother. My oldest brother and my oldest sister, they were moved down to Maryland, and then my youngest sister was moved down to Maryland, so I was left in Wilmington, Delaware all by myself. Now, I never really thought about too much that being emotional issues until about 2 or 3 years ago when I started looking back and seeing that abandonment affected me more than I thought, because growing up, I didn't have that bond with brothers and sisters. I didn't have that strong bond with mother. And when it affected me in many ways, drugs, alcohol, just the way I was acting. So the last couple of years of learning about that, I've been focusing on dealing with those issues, because what they also did was emotionally abused me to the point that there was a lot of times that I did not know how to really give love to somebody, or even sometimes not even take love. So it was a learning process. It was a strong learning process. But, you know, my life had went through a lot of different changes emotionally. And I'm just really coming to terms with my emotional baggage. And, you know, it's a little hard to talk about, you know, but I'm glad to talk about it, especially for men, because if there's any men on the line, they need to know that it's not wrong with sharing those crazy feelings, because that's how recovery comes about, and that's how it comes about with me. And one of the things in regards to emotional, I definitely deal with, which I'm just really, the last couple of months, starting to overcome, is loneliness. Like I said, being neglected as a child, emotionally, I look for that emotional support. You know, and a lot of times I can't find that emotion that I go into depression. And my depression can last anywhere from 1 or 2 days to over a month. And I'm just really thank God for the with that, but it's hard. It's hard. You know, each day is a learning experience. Each day, more and more, I try to find out more about myself and try to deal with those issues. But I think that through abandonment, the issues that I could affect on an emotional level, but I never realized that it was an emotional abuse level. So it's still a learning process for me.
Right.
So, my poetry, I write a lot, is definitely well known. I write a lot of my feelings, my thoughts in poetry, on poetry, and it helps to relieve me. It helps me to look at what I'm going through, and I find that poetry, it's easier for me to express myself more than sitting down with somebody trying to express it, until it flows out of me on paper. You know, it's just so much to find out that the first that didn't realize it, I have to deal with other people. Again, personally, even in relationships, whether relationships that I've experienced, and without a doubt, continue to tell things that I've been brought to the brink of suicide, because I was so emotionally hurt. Like I said, emotionally abused. Now, one of the reasons I came to Dallas, Texas, is because of an incident that happened to me in 2015. And I just got time. I can't take the hurt. I can't take the abuse. I need to run over, and I need to get away from where I was at. And that's why I came to Dallas. And I've been able to, for the past year, to really work on myself mentally, physically, spiritually, and deal with those issues that have been, a lot of the issues have been on for years. Again, I didn't know it, but I don't actually for the last couple, able to start with, get to work.
But, Charles,
you're getting
kind of
low. You're getting kind of low. Kind of speak up, because your voice is getting kind of low. Go ahead, Ramona.
You said that you had a lot of abandonment issues and it's hard for you to talk. So is it still hard for you to talk about it? Have you not healed completely from it?
I didn't heal mostly from it. I do talk about it. I have written about it. One of my last books called Are You Okay? I actually tell a little bit of story about myself in the book. It's the only book that I ever did that in. It's definitely been a healing process. I feel a lot better. I'm not as haunted by it. Because I found out really that I was dealing with abandonment issues when I lived in Delaware with my parents. And when I found that out, you know, I made me sort of working. But it's extremely hard. It's extremely hard to deal with what I would call deep, buried hurts. And these were hurts I didn't even realize. But now I do deal with them, and I deal with it a lot better than I have before.
So since you had abandonment issues, do you have trust issues also?
Trust, believe it or not, I've really never had trust issues. Always been a trusting person. I think I get that from my mother. I'm always willing to give a person a chance. Been hurt, you know, in the past and everything, but still willing to give a chance. But I'm more protective of myself than I was before. Do I have trust issues as far as relationship-wise? Yes and no. Yes and no, because as you know, when you get in a relationship, you're putting yourself out there. You're opening the door. So unless I really feel comfortable, I won't put myself out there like that, because I'll give you a great example. And Stephanie knows about this. And I thought everything was going good, and she sent me a text on her birthday saying, "I don't think I'm going to be in a relationship." And that took
you got
so
real
bad.
Low. Can you repeat that with the text said?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. The text says, "I don't think you want to be in a long-term relationship." But this was her birthday. She texted me. And I said, you know, it hurt me tremendously. Number one, you texted me at 1:30 in the morning. Two, why didn't you tell me or talk to me about it? And that was the major reason I decided to get out there. I'm tired of being hurt. And that's why I came here, because nobody really knew me. So I could start over, but I could concentrate on myself and, you know, start rebuilding that trust. So to be honest, when I first got here, my trust level with people was extremely low. God really had to work.
So now, what was the name of the last book that you wrote?
It's called Are You Okay? And the story behind that is kind of get felt that in the relationship that I was in. That fell apart.
Going in and out.
Really?
Yeah, you're going real low.
Hello, I'm talking too. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah, somewhat, yeah.
Yes, let me make sure this is up. Okay. What had happened? How did that book came about? I went through a bad depression for like 3 weeks. I didn't even take a shower or a bath. Can you hear me?
You're kind of low, Charles. Can you was loud, would hear you. Hear me.
Can you hear me?
That's better.
Okay. Let me try something. Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's fine.
What had happened was I went through a very bad depression for about 3 weeks. I didn't shower, didn't shave. I really let myself go. And I had a meeting with the Secretary of Health and Human Services back in Delaware. And when I went there, I wasn't shaved. I had a beard. My hair looked terrible. But she said, "What's wrong?" And we went into the meeting, and then after that meeting, she sat down with me for an hour. Now, this is a person that ran about $250 million administration that took time out to listen to me. And she asked me had I wrote a book lately. I said, no. And after meeting with her, I decided I'm going to write a book called Are You Okay? And the reason I titled it that, because a lot of people ask you, "Are you okay?" and don't really need it. And it's more like sarcasm. Because when you start to tell them what's going on, they'll walk away or say, "You got something to do." So as I wrote the book about how to talk to people with depression, I came up with a program called I'm Yours for an Hour to teach people how to listen to people going through depression and how just to be there for them and say the words to say and not to say. So that's how the book came about.
So you were depressed about 3 weeks, you say, and you wouldn't shower or anything?
Yes, that is correct.
So how did you overcome the depression?
By sitting down and talking with the Secretary of Health and Human Services. She gave me that 1 hour time that I couldn't find nobody to sit down and talk to them. And I needed somebody to talk to. And that's what broke the depression. She listened to me. She didn't give me no advice, no opinion, but she listened, and that's what broke.
Now let me ask you this. When you said that you didn't shower, you know, and all of that, because, you know, you go through, like, different levels of depression, and, you know, and I know me and what I've gone through depression, I hadn't gotten to it to where I didn't do that. You know, I've had things where I didn't feel like doing things, but I pushed my way and made myself do certain things. So I'm sure you've been at that level where you didn't feel like it, but you pushed your way and done it. And then, so what can you share kind of what the difference is in, okay, being at that level of, okay, I don't feel like getting up, you know, I don't feel like talking to people today, being at that level of depression versus being at that level where you said that you wouldn't get up, you wouldn't shower, you know, you wouldn't shave and all that. Can you just kind of hit that real quick?
Well, basically, like you said, different levels of depression. What had happened with me, I was in a severe depression state that I just had no energy to do anything. I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't care how I looked. I didn't care what I smelled. And I just basically wanted to die, just a slow death. Now, there's other mild levels of depression where you will do things and be a little active but still be depressed. But I was definitely on the 10 scale, on the other line of the scale. And it wasn't until sitting down and somebody listening to me that it broke that day. And that's what I try to explain to people. You know, sometimes words can make the difference. And sometimes people don't want advice or opinions. Sometimes they just want somebody to just listen to them. And when I was in that depression, I did try to reach out to people. But what happened was I could find nobody to talk to. So I kept sinking deeper and deeper.
So did you have a church home or a family member or any friends that you could talk to, or none of them wanted to listen?
Again, I could not get in contact with nobody. I even tried to reach out to my church home. And what happened was when I tried to go talk to my pastor, I couldn't meet with him. That's a long story on itself. And I actually ended up staying outside overnight because my church home was not in Wilmington. So I had to travel by bus. So I had to stay out at the bus depot all night to go back home in Wilmington. So that didn't help. So it was a lot of those factors that I was reaching out, but there was nobody that I could talk to. And I just kept sinking deeper and deeper until I met with Rita Langer, the Health and Human Services Director. And that's what turned me around.
So that had to make you a bitter person, did it not? Because when you're depressed like that and you reach out to people and people don't understand and you can't contact people and all of that, it makes you bitter and you feel broken. Did you ever feel like that?
When I was going through it, I did. But I never let go of the Lord's hand because I also knew that I was being taught certain things that I was going to be able to help other people. So by me going through that, it showed me what not to do to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't hold on to the Lord because I knew eventually I was going to come out. I just didn't win. And when I met with Secretary Langer and I started writing the book and I seen where it was going, I said, okay, Lord, I can help other people that go through the same thing that I went through. So what turned out to be almost a tragedy turned into a blessing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, you know, as they say, you don't go through it for yourself. You go through it for other people.
That is so correct.
And I now I understand that. That's why I'm speaking out now. But for years, you know, I didn't speak out because I was embarrassed and all that. But I understand that now, so that's why I speak up now.
Yeah, and sometimes the situations that you go through teach you and not only strengthen you but give you the strength to help others because you now know how to direct them or just be there for them to help them through their journey.
So you go out and you speak to other people and let them know what you have went through to help them?
Well, I do speak to people. I'm in the process. I went to form a poetry discussion group that teaches
mm-hmm.
people how to write poetry and express themselves. I'm also going to speak about my story to any organization. I'm starting a poetic ministry to show people how to use poetry as a witnessing tool to Christ. So everything that I've been blessed with, sharing with others. So, yeah, I have no problem going out speaking and sharing my story at any organization. Like I said, I definitely wanted to get the poetry discussion groups up, the different workshops on how to talk to people with depression. You know, I'm very excited what God has given me to give back. And that's the key. Whatever even done for me, I want to give to others.
And that's the way
that's
supposed
for me
to be.
My ministry. Poetry is my ministry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Do we have any callers that may have any questions for Charles or any of us? Or live? Okay. Go ahead, Charles, if you want to say a few more things.
You know, the only thing I want to say is I want to definitely thank you, Mike, Michelle, Sherry.
You're real low again. You wanted to say what? You got real low again.
Oh, sorry. No, I just wanted to thank you for inviting me to the show and sharing time with my sister and everything. I can't wait to hear her, what she speaks. You know, like I said, you know, my thing is just to help as many people as I can. And if this has helped somebody, then that's been my blessing.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for accepting and coming on the show and sharing. Greatly appreciate that.
No problem. Anytime I can.
Okay, well, the next person that we have, y'all heard from before, so but she's back for another time. We get to hear updates on what else she's added that has gone on since we last spoke with her on the show. So we have Miss Ramona back on. I know that she mentioned Blue the last time that she was on here. She was in the process of launching it, but she has since launched it in June. So she's going to share that, and I know that she is working on a book, that she will have a book coming out. So we're going to go ahead and turn the rest of the show over to Ramona and let her just kind of, you know, continue from where she ended last time and just kind of bring us up to date of what has been going on with her since the last time she was on our show. So welcome back, Ramona.
Thank you. I am Ramona Johnson. And, of course, we talked about Blue last time. Blue stands for Believers Loving Upon Everyone. And, of course, God gave that to me on my sick bed. And what Blue Ministry does, it provides compassion, love, guidance to those who are in a code blue status, meaning we help those who have had past hurts, pain, brokenness due to any type of loss. And what Blue Ministry wants to do is restore, resuscitate those that are in a 9-1 situation or those that are crying out. Because many times, as Charles was saying, you know, we get depressed. We get in those situations and we get down and out and we don't know where we can call, who we can call, because so many times we call certain people, they don't answer the phone or they don't understand and they don't want to help us. And so that's what Blue is about. You can always call Blue because the reason blue exists in my life is because I've been there. I've been to the lowest of the low. I was sexually abused from age 5 to 12 years old by my biological brother. And as Charles said, he had abandonment issues. I was rejected. I had rejection issues. I had the feeling of being rejected because I felt like I wasn't loved. I felt like I wasn't loved, and it took me to commit suicide. I tried to commit suicide 4 times. I'm the baby of 11. But I had to fight to survive as a kid growing up. And so I felt like even though I had everything that I could possibly want, I felt like I was an outcast in my own family. And so it took me laying on a gurney after taking an overdose for my daddy to tell me that he loved me.
Wow.
And so I was in that 911 status, and I needed to be rescued, and I was crying out for help, but nobody knew. So that's where my book comes in, Welcome to the Masquerade Ball, because all through my life I had to wear many masks, and all those different masks had different meanings. I had a mask for anger because I stayed so angry inside because of the way I was treated. I had a mask for when I was happy because I had to cover up the way I was feeling. And each one of those masks had different colors. Sometimes the mask had to be black because I felt so dark inside. Sometimes it would be bright colors because that's when I was happy. So that's what the Masquerade Ball is about. It's about my life story because I had to fight to survive, and it wasn't easy. And so the last 2 years I had to find out who Ramona was because I could hide real easy. Nobody knew I was dying inside. I dressed to impress, and people thought I had it going on, but I was dying on the inside. I mean, my daddy gave me everything I could have. I wore the best of clothes. I dressed real nice, and I looked real nice. So everybody thought I had it going on. I would smile, hey, how you doing? And so I had the attitude to go with what I had on. But I was,
you know, let me stop you right there for a second. Said you dressed real nice, you had it going on. See, mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of people miss some of the signs, because they see you know, you look good, you know, you look like you have going on, but they don't realize that sometimes those people are hurting inside. Sometimes those people are depressed. You know, sometimes those people are about to give up. Different things like that. And that's why people need to know the signs so that they can reach out and help people.
Yeah, my own mama didn't know that I was feeling that way. My own mama, sisters, and brothers didn't even know I was feeling that way. I fought.
You know why?
Because
we're good at covering stuff up.
Yeah. And I was really good at it. Let me tell you, still good at it. But I don't cover it up no more. I let you know just how I feel. Because I don't have to cover it up. I'm God's child.
Right.
I'm delivered. And anywhere I can take it to God, and God's going to work it out, so I don't have to cover it up.
Right.
Because I know that God got my back. Because he tells me to cast all my cares upon him. And now I know that I have a few people in my circle that I can call, that I can tell my situation to. I don't have to stay in the situation I'm in. And then sometimes a couple of my friends know when there is something wrong. So, and then I can understand when Charles said he went to the church and the pastor had been out of time. I can understand that because I've been church hurt. I've been hurt down to the core.
I was just going to say church hurt. You know,
from
when
church.
They say there's different levels of abuse, there's different levels of abuse.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The church hurt, it hurts worse than anything in the world. I mean, I don't want to, just a couple of years ago, I was not going to step foot back in the church. That's how hurt I was. I don't want to hear nothing about a church. And I'm a minister. But I was hurt. I was wounded, and I was scorned, and I was broken. But it took God to place somebody in my life to show me it don't have to be that way.
Exactly.
And so now mm-hmm. I'm healed, and I can really say that I'm healed. Now, that's not to say that you're not going to have any bad days, but you won't go back to where you were if you are delivered. Because will I ever try to commit suicide again? Oh, no. No, I will never try to commit suicide again. No, because that's not even in my vocabulary anymore.
Amen. Amen.
But, yeah, so that's why God gave me blue, because I like going into dark places. Because people that mm-hmm. are dark, they're the one that need the help. So I want to be mm-hmm. that light that shines in dark places. I want to be that light that helps those people because they need it to most. Those are the people that are overlooked. See how David was overlooked?
That's right.
Because he worked in the field, he was overlooked. But when he,
that's right.
When they finally looked at him, see, he was that light. And so I want to be that light. And so that's why I don't mind getting down dirty. I don't mind going to feed the homeless. I don't mind going to those kind of places.
Exactly.
Because those are the ones that need it the most. And that's who I am.
I definitely appreciate mm-hmm. what you are saying, especially about the church hurt.
Yeah.
I've run across that a lot. And I'm also a minister. So, you know, I try to learn from what's done to me, not to do to others.
Right.
So I definitely follow you there. But let me ask you a quick question. Where do you see yourself going from here?
I'm sorry?
Where do you see yourself going from here?
Where do I see myself going from here?
Yes.
Actually, God has started taking me places that I want to get a building. Well, I'm getting a building. God is going to give it to me because he placed it in my heart where everybody can get what they need under one roof.
Praise God.
They can get everything they need under one roof. Those people that are homeless that need a place to go take a shower or to eat, they can come and get that with Blue Ministries. Those people that need counseling, because I am a life coach, a transitional life coach now. I got my certificate to do that.
Okay.
In the last year, I got all of that because God was taking me that direction, and I'm going to go back to school to get Christian counseling, too, because I want to do that. Well, I want to get all of it because I don't want nobody saying anything because I am qualified and I'm called and I'm chosen. But anyway, I want everything under one roof. And Blue Ministries is not just for women. God told me it was for everybody. It's for men, women, children, whoever. So I'm a mentor, too. I mentor kids in urban.
Okay.
So I want to be able to touch everybody. I don't want to be able to discriminate nobody because
mm-hmm.
even the littlest needs some kind of guidance and help. And so that's
actually how Ramona and I met, was through her work with the youth group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we partnered up with their organization, and that's how I met Ramona.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I've also did prison ministry. That's where God took me to first.
Okay.
He took me to prison ministry when I first was called. Then he took me to prison ministry, and I'm like, huh? I'm like, I ain't never been to no prison before. But he said, that's where I want you to go. So I had to go into the prison for 6 months when I was called to minister. I had to go into the prison for 6 months. So I've been around. God has taken me everywhere. So I'm
mm-hmm.
proud of the experience that he has taken to me because he's taken me to a different level.
Amen. Amen.
So, yeah.
Well, they say you have to be ready in season and out of season, right? So when he says
that's right.
it's time for you to go, you have to go. You have to do what he says.
But
that's
you know
right.
what? It didn't feel good, though. It didn't feel good because you
mm-hmm.
feel alone on an island by yourself when God is taking you somewhere. And so
sometimes you
don't know because people, when you tell people, they don't understand. And you have to get
mm-hmm.
that one person that really understands that that's God pruning you. Because sometimes you don't always understand. Because when I was first called, I didn't understand. I thought something was going on with me. I thought I was going crazy, but I didn't know that it was God moving.
Yep.
And when God tells you to do something, you have to do it.
That's right.
And sometimes when he's stretching you, those growing, growing pains. I'm not sure what I should say, pains, but sometimes it's like, wow.
It's
uncomfortable. All I can say was, okay, God, yes, it can be.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable. But if you didn't have pain, you wouldn't make it to where you need to be. Because you got to go through something to get to where you're going.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Let me tell you something. When God told me to sit down a few months ago and said to me, you know, I didn't sit down because even though I was doing a good deed, I was doing a good deed, it wasn't what God wanted me to do because I was working everybody's ministries but my own. And so he sent a person to tell me to sit down. I didn't sit down. I kept on going the first time I failed. And so she said, I told you God to sit down. She said, you better sit down. I'm like, okay. I sit down for a couple of days. And I didn't quite sit down. So I'm driving. I have a wreck. My car is total. So my car is still total. I still don't have a car. And that was in August. Then a few months later, then I'm on Dart Handy Ride, and I get hit from behind riding on Dart Handy Ride. I wasn't obedient to what God was telling me. He wanted me to sit down and work on what he wanted me to work on. He wanted me to work on my ministry and not everybody else's. I was disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to sit still so I could hear what God was trying to do with me and tell me where he wanted me to go. And so sometimes he has a way of getting our attention.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It says the Lord chastises those he loves.
Yes. And so I've experienced it all, and it didn't feel good. But then I understood. It took me months to understand because I went through that spell. Why I have to do this? Why I have to do that? And I cried many a night, cried myself to sleep. But now I can say I made it and I understood what he was trying to tell me. But I had to listen to him. I had to get alone and just listen to him because I was too busy. And sometimes you get too busy, you hear too many things, and he just wants you to hear his voice. You got to get quiet so you can hear him. If you're real busy, you can't hear nothing.
That's right.
You just get quiet.
That is so true. That is so true.
It is. So he had to get me to that point because I'm the type of person, if you need me, here I come running. I didn't consult God, and that was another thing I had to learn. Just because it was something good does not mean that it was good for me, that God wanted me to do.
For you.
So I had to start learning how to consult God before I walk. And so I was doing stuff for other ministries, volunteering here, volunteering there, spreading myself all around, but I wasn't consulting God.
I've been there as well. Doing good deeds for everybody, spreading myself thin. Exactly. In there.
Amen. You're so right. Sometimes we'll get wrapped up in other people's ministries that we neglect what God calls us to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people know your talent. People know what you're capable of, and they'll ask you, can you, will you, I need you. And you constantly saying, yes, you know, you're being pulled to and fro. And I actually had one of the ministers at our church. She was in the dance ministry with me. And she kept saying, Stephanie, you got to learn to say no. Stephanie, you got to learn to say no. You constantly on the move. You got to learn to say no. You know, and, you know, some of the people was like, well, how do I tell this person no? Well, how do I tell that person no? Well, Pastor so-and-so kind of me. You expect me to tell them no? You know? And basically, there's a way to, if you have to say no or you can't do something, but you still know, there's a way that you can do it, you know? You may not always be totally available. And there were times where I really wasn't totally available, but I made myself available when I was asked because I felt obligated, you know? When they asked me, can you do this or can you do that? I felt obligated, so, you know, of course.
And that's why we have to consult God.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
That's one reason why we have to consult God, because it will make us feel guilty if we don't do.
Yes.
When they ask us.
But you know what?
And then some people want to use us for our gift.
Yes.
A lot of times, that's what they want to use for what we can do for them, because they see something inside of us, so they want to use it, and then they'll take the glory for it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time this lady had asked me to preach, and so she asked me what was I going to preach about, this, that, and the other. I get to church, then she gets up there. How about she's talking my sermon before I get up there and preach and say, God told me to say this.
Oh, wow.
And then she tells me to get up there and preach. And I said, well, you already done preached it now. I was so mad. But then when I got up there, God gave me a different way to go.
Praise God for that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But he knows, but we just got to trust him to direct our path.
That's right.
Ask him to guide us and lead us. And we can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we just let God lead us and guide us. We can't go wrong. Now, he knows that sometimes we're going to fall off track. We're going to go another path, but we can still get back up and get back on that path.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, let me take a moment to ask, any of the callers that we have on the line, do you have any questions for any of us? Don't be afraid to speak up. I have unmuted everybody that's on the line, so everybody is live. Okay. Anytime you want to speak up and ask a question, feel free to ask questions. Okay, Charles Ramona, did y'all have something else?
You know, I wanted to add that depression is real. And most people think that a lot of people, especially us blacks, we try to push depression up under the rug and hide it because that's what we've been taught to do. But depression is real. And we know somebody that's depressed, or if we even think that they're depressed, we need to try to talk to them or get them some help. Because depression will make you sick.
Amen.
Depression will have you think you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. I've had a nervous breakdown.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I've been hospitalized for depression because I didn't want to live. I was that depressed. I didn't like myself. I didn't feel love. I felt like I didn't have nothing to live for. And if I was dead, nobody would care if I was dead. They wouldn't miss me.
My God.
And so people take that and run with it because they think, oh, you're just going through something. No, you don't really know how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So people take it lightly when people say they're depressed or, well, I don't want to live anymore. We can't take that lightly these days because there's a lot of people out there that are committing suicide.
Amen.
And there's a lot of people out there trying to make the police kill them.
That's
because
right.
Because they don't want to live. And they're trying to make other people kill them because they don't want to live.
That's right. That's right. I definitely relate to that. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so
and just like you said.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just like you said, especially in the black community, because we're raised, like you said, we're supposed to be strong and, you know, you don't cry, especially men, you know. Tell men, it's no shame in crying. You know, get it out. Get it out, you know. Because, like I said, I have tried to do suicide. You know, just got fed up. And I explained to somebody, because I know a lot of times people say suicide, it is a selfish act. I said, you don't understand what that person's pain is. The person can only take so much, and that's why they reach out. And I also tell people, don't say you'll always be there for them unless you absolutely mean it.
Amen.
Because if they call you and you're not there for them, it could take them over the edge.
That's right. Much more damage did you realize.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
But people will say that they'll be there for you, but they not really actually be there, because when you call them, oh, they're busy. They're too busy to talk to you.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
I have people right now that when I'm going through things, I will not call them now, because I have been told before, oh, I'm here for you and all that. And no, they're not. They have shown time and time again they were not. You know, when you go through those trials and tribulations, you find out who's really there for you. And who's not there for you. And sometimes it's like a slap in the face, a punch in the stomach.
Absolutely.
You know,
you better not
stay
down too long. My old pastor used to tell me, sickness is a good teacher. And that is so true.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, one time I was, I dealt with homelessness. As a matter of fact, I just got my apartment last week. But
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Praise God for that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you both. Well, a few years ago, I went through it, and I was sitting, and I wrote a poem, and I just told the Lord, I said, I want to die. I'm tired. I said, dogs have places to stay. You know, and in a nutshell, the Lord spoke to my spirit, and I wrote it in a poem. He says, he kept telling me, peace, be still. And he said, with the times that you want to take your life, my angels are there. And he said, the things I'm teaching you, you're not going to learn in a seminar. He said, I will send my people to you, and you'll recognize their voice. He said, you will live Matthew 25. And that's when I started my ministry not long from that, Redeeming Christ. And Stephanie knows I was an advocate for the homeless back in Delaware. And, you know, and if somebody was hurting, I was there, you know. And I told people, I said, look, our organization is not 9-to-5. We're 24/7,
right.
You know. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did, you know. So, yeah, I know about that pain because I went through it, and I tried to show the love of God. To see, here's what I got to say this, and then I'm going to shut up. People don't realize the love of God is also a sacrificial love. You do have to sacrifice yourself sometimes.
Yeah,
just
you
like
do.
God, like Christ sacrificed his life. You know, it's a sacrificial love. But God honors that. And he honors that mightily. And I applaud you for what you do.
Yeah, it costs to follow Christ.
That's
yes,
right.
It did. It did. And,
but
you know, also,
yes, it is.
Definitely.
Yes, it is.
Definitely. And, you know, just like you were saying earlier, Ramona, about, you know, sometimes you can dress good, you can look good, but they don't know what you're going through. You know, what a lot of people don't realize is that people that are out there doing certain things come under certain attacks. You know,
that's right.
Even though we're out doing these certain things, we have to prepare for certain things too, because we come under attack.
That's right.
And I won't go into details, but 2016, I was ready for 2016 to go, because came up under so many attacks.
Yeah.
You know,
there you there.
I will put this out there. Here I am speaking about abuse, doing a radio show about abuse, out talking to people about abuse, talking to kids about abuse and all this.
And there you were going
and,
through abuse at the same time.
And it ended up going through it again, not knowing that was fixing to happen. You know,
but look at you
and
now.
When it happened, I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but things happen. things happen.
Yeah.
And when it happened, I got a chance to speak with one of the girls at one of the schools that we were speaking at, and we had a situation where one of the kids ran a classroom, and we've mentioned this before on the show, but you know, I didn't tell my side, you know, because I hadn't opened up a whole lot, and I'm opening up even more and more. But one of the things when we talked, you know, and I told her, I said, well, I will share with you, I'm going through some things now in a relationship that I have to get out of. You know, I didn't know it was going to turn this way. But, you know, I shared with her a couple of things, and she said, well, how are you going to get out of that? How are you going to make the change? I said, God's got me. I said, do you really believe that things are going to change? I said, because here I am, I'm speaking about it, and then I ended up having to deal with it again. Oh, no. Yeah. I said, so
God will do it, won't he?
You know, I will.
Yes, he will.
Yes. Yes. And she was just like, wow. She said, I would have never thought, just looking at you, I would never thought. Okay, well, you can't just look at a person all the time and tell what a person's going through. Because
that's
I'm
right.
going to tell you, I know how to cover it up. I can
Me too.
Be depressed, and I can get up. I know how to get myself up. Depends on what level I'm on. I can get up and go speak. I can get up and go be at church or be in an event, and you not know that I am. Because a lot of us know how to cover things up.
Yes, we do.
I actually wrote
a lot of times you have
that.
To really know the signs. Yeah. But
yep.
if you sometimes
yep.
if you don't really know the signs, you won't catch
yep.
it in certain people. You have
That's
to
right.
really know the signs.
That's right. That's why I wrote a couple of poems about that. One of them was called Smiling and Crying. You know, I'm smiling on the outside, but I'm crying on the inside.
That's it. Because so many times we do that. We're so broken. We're so damaged. We've been through so much. But then we just got a big old smile on the outside. But nobody really knows what we're going through, what we've been through.
That's right.
They just see what we're looking at on the outside, the mask that we're wearing.
That's right.
Right. But we can still go out there and do what we're called to do. We can go out there and speak and do whatever we're called to do, and people don't know that you may be broken.
That's right. That's right.
Because we come
and Mr. Monica, you
want to
add anything?
Because
I heard you on the phone. Minister Monica?
Amen. Praise God. I'm enjoying y'all. Praise the Lord.
Add something to it. Monica
Amen.
Is my
I
friend from Ennis. And she has a ministry called Broken Pieces. She has a testimony,
Amen.
A real
awesome.
Testimony. And she spoke at one of my things called the Masquerade Ball. But she is one of my, she is the person that holds me up when I'm down.
Praise God.
She is a good support system for me. And that's one of the person that knows when I'm feeling down and keep me from falling. So we kind of hold
Amen.
Each other up.
Amen.
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 I can support system because she's been on here from the beginning.
Oh, have to.
Amen.
Yes, she has.
Amen.
Because, you know, I'm watching the switchboard, yes.
Amen. Y'all have been wonderful, praise God. I can identify with depression, and I went through it myself with my husband of many years, walked out the door for no reason, with no signs, just went to work one day and decided he didn't want to be my husband anymore. And I tell you, it destroyed my life, and I went into a deep depression. And I was like the gentleman there, Charles, I didn't bathe, I didn't fix my hair, I didn't put on makeup, I didn't do anything. All I wanted to do was die. Because I felt like, well, if he can't love me, I can't be loved. Oh, but God is a restorer. Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory
he
to
is.
God.
Yes, he is.
God
yes,
will
he is.
It for you. So the people that's out there listening to all of these things that we have talked about, how we've been down and how we've been abused and how we've been hurt, there's two words that I want to leave with you. But God.
But God.
Glory
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
But
Lord.
Yes.
But God.
Yes.
That's the only thing that can let us make it through. But God.
That's right. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
He is a deliverer. He's a healer.
He's all that we need.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. He said, we're never alone. He's always there.
That's right.
Man. Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else have any questions? Any other callers? Okay.
Everybody's quiet today.
Yeah, they've been pretty quiet today. I guess they said we said a whole lot today.
Amen.
They take it all in and taking notes, good notes.
Right.
They taking it in. Right. Y'all on a touchy subject. You know, y'all on a subject that's taboo in the Black community, as y'all stated before. You know,
y'all just took the words out of my mouth.
So many of our people out there.
You're right.
That's wearing masks. They're wearing masks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They looking good every day. They combing their hair. I did that too.
Yep.
Look good every day and be dying on the inside. So it's a touchy subject.
Right.
But I guarantee you that if somebody out there that's listening to this word, and it's going to be blessed. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Whether they're listening to it right now or whether they will listen to it in the future, because people go back and listen, you know, to our episode. So
it's going
to
be a blessing.
You know, I remember the last time that I had went into the hospital for depression, and I had a pastor there that was praying for me every day because I couldn't pray for myself. I didn't want to pray, didn't want to hear nothing about praying. But he prayed for me every day. But that one day, because the nurse, she thought I would never snap out of it, and the doctors thought that. But then one day I snapped out of it, and then when I snapped out of it, my pastor said, I didn't think you would ever snap out of it. He said, I was really worried. But it was the prayers that kept me. And so
that's
we came out, the Kurt Carr song was playing, I Almost Let Go. And I will never forget that song, because I felt like I couldn't take life anymore. But Jesus came and grabbed me.
Amen.
And he held me close.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't let go.
Amen.
So
amen.
Thank God.
Thank God.
I just thank God and I praise him. Because he didn't let go.
That's right.
He held me so close. And he'll hold anybody close that want to be held. But you got to want to be held. Because he's a keeper.
Yeah.
But you got to warn him. You got to let him in. He said,
that's
I said that they'll knock it.
That's right.
Well, guys, we only have 2 minutes left. So I do want to touch our fundraisers real quick. We currently have several fundraisers that We Are Survivors would love for each and every one to support us on. We have our Kroger Plus Rewards card. If you currently have a Kroger Plus Rewards card, or if you will go and get a Kroger Plus Rewards card and log into Kroger.com and register it, and then click on We Are Survivors and or start typing in, it'll come up and connect to us each quarter according to how much. According to how much you spend, we will get a donation. We also have the Compass Bank reward, whereas if you connect your account to us, according to how much you use each month, they will send us a donation. And then we also do the Tom Thumb reward. And when you connect that card by going to TomThumb.com, each quarter they will give us a donation. So if you need assistance with any of those, or all of those, you can give me a call or a text at 817-320-2571. We want to thank Ramona Johnson and we want to thank Charles Johnson for joining us on the show. And they are not related. You know, they both have the same website. We want to thank them for taking time out to come on the show and share with us. I really enjoyed you both for coming and sharing time with us. And I look forward to having y'all back on the show in the near future.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Yes, thank you. Anytime.
I enjoyed it.
Me too. Immensely.
And everybody, if you are going through the depression or any of the any type of abuse, reach out. You know, whether it's to us or anybody else, reach out. You don't have to go through it alone. Everybody
That's
have
right.
a wonderful evening. Good night, everybody.
You too. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Amen.
Fire up the grill and get cooking. It's Memorial Day, and Albertsons is stocked and ready with cookout favorites at great low prices. It's the perfect time to gather and celebrate with friends and family. Get baby back or St. Louis-style pork ribs, $1.69 a pound, limit two, or boneless, skinless chicken breast, $1.69 a pound. Sweet California cherries, $2.99 a pound. And Coke, Dr. Pepper, or Pepsi, 12-pack cans, 4 for $10, limit 4 total. Fresher meats, sweeter produce, better gatherings. Albertsons, it's just better. Fire up the grill and get cooking. It's Memorial Day, and Albertsons is stocked and ready with cookout favorites at great low prices. It's the perfect time to gather and celebrate with friends and family. Get baby back or St. Louis-style pork ribs, $1.69 a pound, limit two, or boneless, skinless chicken breast, $1.69 a pound. Sweet California cherries, $2.99 a pound. And Coke, Dr. Pepper, or Pepsi, 12-pack cans, 4 for $10, limit 4 total. Fresher meats, sweeter produce, better gatherings. Albertsons, it's just better.